Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 6 of Revelation chapter 10, and we're going to be reading verses 5 through 7. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. Just to remind us, we've been reading through Revelation 10, and we saw that this mighty angel is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is making an appearance in the day of judgment with the open book, the little book open, the Bible, to reveal to us, to indicate to us that the Bible is still open and that additional divine information, that is information that comes forth from the mouth of God, can be learned in the day of judgment. And he also is making this appearance to encourage the people of God to prophesy once more. And we saw in Amos 3, verse 8, and I would encourage everyone to read that verse, that God relates a lion's roar to his speaking. And so too here in Revelation 10, 3, When the mighty messenger, the Lord Jesus, cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And then God says in Amos 3:8, when the Lord does speak, who can but prophesy? And here in Revelation 10, verse 11, he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. This is to encourage us, to get us moving once again to the task at hand, which is to feed sheep, which is accomplished through sharing truth. And therefore, we are to publish these things and conceal them not. We're not to hold back. We're not to hide information about the time we're living in. We're to share as much truth as possible. Same thing, really, that true believers have always done. The only difference is we are not sharing truth from the Bible in order that individuals hear and become saved, or we don't even have that hope or expectation. No, we're not to encourage anyone in the slightest bit along those lines. We're just to tell people that this is what God is doing at this time. This is where we are at. We are living on the earth in the day of judgment. And as always, truth will nourish the true children of God. And those that aren't true children of God, well, they'll just dismiss it. They'll write it off, and it probably won't concern them all that much. But that's not our business. It's not our concern. And the Bible does tell us that the rest of the wicked, the unsaved people that did not become saved prior to May 21, and they're outside of the churches, they're going to continue on, and they will not repent. There is no more repentance unto salvation that is no longer taking place. Of course, God's people who are already saved will repent. They will turn in an ongoing manner. That's the lifestyle that God has given us. Well, here we saw that Christ, this messenger come down from heaven, lifts his hand up and swears by him that liveth forever and ever, that there should be time no longer. And we went back to the book of Daniel in chapter 12, and we saw in Daniel 12 that there was a similar verse. It's not the same, and yet we were looking at the similarities. In Daniel 12, verse 7, I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And in looking at this verse, we realized that we now understand the 70th week, the last half of the 70th week of Daniel 9, because Daniel 12:7 is speaking of time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And we saw how the time, times and a half, three and a half, relates to a similar statement in Revelation 12, verses 13 and 14, concerning the woman who brought forth the man-child, that is the body of believers, as God brought Christ through Judea, and he pictures it as though the believers brought forth the Lord. And then following Christ's birth, the woman, the body of believers, fled into the wilderness for time, times and a half. And that's similar to this statement here in Daniel 12:7. And yet God helped us further in Revelation 12, verse 5 and 6, where he basically gave us the same information concerning the woman. She fled into the wilderness and was fed for 1260 days, which is 3.5 years of 30-day months. And that relates to the last half. The 69th week goes to 29 AD, and then the period of Christ's ministry of 3.5 years takes us to 33 AD, and then God, he has the last 3.5 of the 70th week stretch for 1955 years throughout the entire church age. The period the woman is said to flee into the wilderness, the 1260 days. Now, we didn't mention this, but as it says in Revelation 12, verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Well, that time period is the same as we read in Revelation 11 concerning the two witnesses. In verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now we can see that the 1260 for the woman was the period of the church age, the period that she was nourished by God, that God was with her, caring for her, watching out for her, protecting her. And likewise, God says, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for the exact same period of time, 1260 or 1,260 days. And that confirms our understanding of the two witnesses who had their period of testimony from 33 AD, which again would be the middle of the 70th week of Daniel 9, once Christ went to the cross. That was 69.5 weeks, the 3.5 years of Christ's ministry, 3.5, half of 7. And then the last half, 3.5 elongated years. And you know, this is God's privilege. It's his prerogative to do with numbers as he wishes. And he is God. And if he wants one half of seven to be a literal 3.5 years, as with the ministry of Christ, okay? And if he then wants the second half to fill up that 70, to stretch over almost 2,000 years, and then to identify that period as 1,260 days or 3.5 years, or time times and a half, that also is his privilege. He is God. He is the author. He is the writer of the Bible, and he defines his own terms. And so when God speaks of a day of salvation, and he does in numerous places in the Bible, and then he has that day stretch out, for instance, for a likely 1,600-day period, well, all right, God can do that. It's all in how he defines the numbers that he uses, or the words, even the phrases. He is the one who had the day of salvation stretch out for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And so certainly a day of judgment can also be a prolonged period of time. And so the two witnesses witnessed, they prophesied for that 1260, the last half of Daniel 9. Then notice what happens in Revelation 11, verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony. And when did they finish? After 1260 days. After the time times and a half. The beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And that agrees perfectly with Daniel 12:7, that as this is also God here, who is swearing by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. God gave power, even though that's italicized, that is the point that's in that passage. God does use the word authority there. He gave authority to the two witnesses, and they carried out that authority for time, times and a half, for 1260 days. But then when he shall have accomplished, and the Hebrew word translated as accomplished is the same word translated as finished at the end of this verse. So we could read it, when he shall have finished to scatter the power of the holy people, those that were the caretakers of the word of God, the two witnesses, the Bible was in their possession, and it gave them the authority of God himself. And yet there came a time when he scattered the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished or accomplished. It's the same Hebrew word. And the word scattered is translated as break in pieces 9 times in Jeremiah 51. This is describing the end of the church age, the end of God's using of the New Testament churches and congregations as his representatives to the people of the world. He has scattered the holy people, made holy through identification with the Word of God, the Holy Bible. And that would bring us to the end of Daniel chapter 9, the end of the 70th week. Now let's go back to Daniel 9. This is something that we're learning, because we've always assumed Daniel 9 goes to the end of the world. And it does, as far as God is concerned, because the end of the church age, the beginning of the Great Tribulation, is the time of the end. It's the beginning of judgment. Judgment begins at the house of God. And it's a very long stretch from that point on, 23 years of Great Tribulation, of judging the church, and it looks like another 4 years, 4 months, 16 days of judging the world, 10,000 overall days of judgment. Yet God is bringing us to the point when the Bible is unsealed, the time of the end. And so we read in Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. You see how it is letting us know that what I am going to talk to you about has to do with the holy city, the church, the corporate body, where the two witnesses were located for 1260 days, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now, all of those phrases can relate to Christ when he went to the cross and remember, included within this 77s of Daniel 9. It is a lot of information focused on the ministry of Christ and his going to the cross in 33 AD. But then it says at the end of verse 24, and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So there is the reference to sealing up the prophecy. And according to Daniel 12:4, seal up the words until the time of the end, and then knowledge will increase. And as we've known for some time, that the Bible was unsealed at the very beginning of the Great Tribulation period. That's when the seventh seal, as there were seven seals, the seventh and last seal was taken off of the book. And then there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. At the end of the removing of the seven seals began the 2300 evening mornings, when there was silence in heaven, wherein virtually no one was being saved for those first 2300 days. Well, then it says in verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. Now, this is a prophecy dealing with the Messiah, the coming of Christ, and his official period of ministry. And so it doesn't relate to the end of the world. So we're going to continue on. There, all that information and our previous understanding of it is correct. And verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. And that happened in 33 AD. But not for himself, and the people, the prince that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. In verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This is the 70th week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, which we continue to understand, as this has been correct. This occurred in 33 AD when Jesus ended all sacrifice, and never again were sacrifices, animal sacrifices, to be offered. The sacrifice and the oblation ceased. And then notice the end of verse 27, as it says, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. And that sounds very much like Matthew 24:15's reference to the abomination of desolation. And we know that at the very precise moment that God ended the church age, the Holy Spirit came out of the midst and Satan entered in, the abomination of desolation that immediately scattered the power of the holy people, that immediately ended the period of times and a half, and that started the period of the end, the overspreading of abominations. He shall make it desolate. And that is a word that God uses very often to describe the spiritual condition of the church, the spiritual condition after the Holy Spirit removed himself and came out of the midst, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So that statement would lead to the final end of all things. So the abomination of desolation, he will make it desolate, the church, until the consummation, until the end of the world, as that 70th week concludes with the abomination of desolation being set up and established in the church, as he is now showing himself he is God, and that information that the Lord gives us in 2 Thessalonians 2 concerning the man of sin, as the abomination of desolation and the man of sin are one and the same, and that desolate condition will continue until the final end of all things, as when you begin the time of the end, when judgment begins at the house of God, it must conclude. It does not go on indefinitely. It does not go on without end. Certainly, it is the beginning of the end. It is the time of the end. And so we have been living in the period of the end since May 21, 1988, when the 70th week of Daniel 9 finished, and we officially entered the end stage of this world. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 10, and again, verses 5 and 6. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, and so on. And then what is he swearing? That there should be time no longer. God is swearing. And the Bible tells us when God swears like this, it is as though he has taken an oath. Now, we're not going to have time in this study, but we're going to look, Lord willing, in our next study, at the relationship of the oath of God to God's overall program of salvation, and also of judgment. It's interesting that God swore, the Bible tells us, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God swore certain things. He swore that their seed would multiply. He swore that they would enter the land of Canaan and into the promised land. And what we're going to find is that just about all of the things that God swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were found in relationship to the Egyptian bondage and to the deliverance from that bondage. And we're also going to find that these things parallel, or they're extremely similar to what took place during the Great Tribulation period. For instance, God brought Israel into Egypt where they were soon in captivity. They were in captivity in Egypt. Well, during the Great Tribulation, God commanded his people to leave the churches, to go to the world. And we understand that the teaching in the book of Jeremiah, where God commanded the Jews to go into Babylonian captivity, is picturing that. And therefore, God's people during the period of the latter rain were in a spiritual sense in Babylonian captivity, just as the Jews, Israel, was in Egyptian captivity. And what happened while in captivity? Well, the Israelites multiplied greatly to the point that the Egyptians began to fear them. And what happened during our period of Babylonian captivity, that period of the last about 17 years of the Great Tribulation, when wherein God in that figure commanded his people to go into Babylon, to go to the world. Well, we multiply greatly. God saved a great multitude out of the nations of the world. In other words, it's as though the captives in Babylon multiplied, just as the Israelites in Egypt multiplied. Well, then what happened with those Israelites? Well, you can see how this is very similar, and actually the similarities continue. There's a few more that we'll hopefully get a chance to talk about. Now, God also swore something very, very hard and that relates to his wrath and his judgment concerning some that came out of that Egyptian captivity. So the swearing of God is like a two-sided sword. On one hand, he swears for the benefit of his people. On the other hand, he swears in a condemning way for those that are not his people. And so we'll look at that. Let's just take a look at Hebrews 6 right now, and then we'll close this study. Hebrews 6, beginning in verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And here God is speaking to us as the Bible basically lays out the promises of God, and the Christian, the child of God, hopes and lives according to those promises. You know, if the promises of the Bible are not true, if they are not faithful, if this book is what the atheist claims it to be, or the secularist, or individuals that dispute and doubt and are critical, men, of course, they have nothing to offer. They don't know anything themselves, but they think they do, and so they think they know better than God. They know better than the words that are written in this book, and they'll call it a fairy tale. They'll call it some nice stories put together, but basically it's not true, they say. You can't count on those things. Well, then we have no hope. We have no gospel. We're worse than anybody else in this world if that's true. Yet God swears and promises, and he tells us, absolutely, you can trust everything that is said in this book from beginning till the end. I swear, he has taken an oath. And so when we find this mighty messenger, the Lord Jesus, lifting up his hand to heaven and swearing unto him that liveth forever and ever, that there should be time no longer, well, that is a fact. That is a guarantee. That is a promise of God that point will come when time will end.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.